The question I have for you, this is again coming from me, is about housing. So how do you suggest the Assembly helps people navigate the housing market in Sitka? And you're welcome to talk about your own personal experiences navigating the housing market. I'm a renter. I rent property. I'm new to Sitka. And the challenge of staying here is finding a place to live. So how do you suggest the Assembly do that? They've recently dedicated or approved the building of a cottage neighborhood for a community land trust on Sawmill Creek Road. That's one thing the Assembly has done. But yeah, that's the question. How would you help citizens navigate the housing market here in Sitka? I think, Aaron, you're first.
Okay, we had something that passed a while back where people could put small, tiny homes on their property and rent those out as long as they follow the building codes and the parking parameters. I think that is a great place to start if somebody has the ambition to put in a tiny home on their property. But like I said, you know, opening up land, residential lots, there's countless amounts of acres out HBR that could be used for residential lots. You get, let those go fairly cheap and people can afford to buy or build a house on there instead of paying $350,000 for a home.
Hi. Yeah, you know, I live in a manufactured home in a trailer park, which I never thought I was going to do. And I came in with a little bit of an attitude about that. But I love my house. And I love that I could afford it. It was under $100,000. And it's a beautiful home. It's three bedrooms, two baths, you know, all the amenities. And I don't know why we don't have more of that. I think that there's been a stigma attached to manufactured homes. I know the banks are reticent to loan any portion, you know, any fair portion of that, the way that they do for homes. You know, like in home, you can put 10% down or 20% down. But in a manufactured home, you have to come up with about 35%, which puts a lot of people out of the market. So let's talk to some of the banks and do that, because you could take, I'm from the old school, you never sell land. You make money from land. Land is there as an investment. And so I don't sell land very easily if I'm a landowner, because that's an investment. But I make money from my land. And if the city has property that they can put these beautiful, and they're, you know, if you just go down south and look at some of these manufactured homes, they're gorgeous. And if we do that and, you know, put in all the LIDs and things that you need, then there's a way that you can, and talk to the banks and say, can we do a better loan program? I think you got affordable housing.
Kevin Knox, same question.
So this is, you know, something that I, at this point, well, before I was a stay-at-home dad and now I'm back in it, is something that I kind of live on a daily basis in a way, working in construction, building homes. One size doesn't fit all for everybody, obviously. Manufactured homes work for some people. Apartments are fine for others. You know, larger homes are what other people are looking for. One of the biggest pieces of our housing costs here is the development cost. It just costs a lot of money to build a home here. We have to, as a city, would have to be very careful in releasing lands that we do own. It's not something that you're just going to let out wholesale, you know, throwing a massive amount of property out on the market for anybody to develop. That would, you know, it would crush our housing market. It would crush, you know, real estate. And you know, you want to talk about people leaving, it would certainly leave very quickly after that. They'd all be underwater on their loans for the ones that they do own. But we do need to have more land available for sure. And the city with the bench lands was working on that. Unfortunately, with the landslide, that, you know, it's changed that landscape a lot. And Sound Development, when they were given that large piece of land to subdivide and then put out onto the market, they were not looking at really large profits for themselves. They had small pieces of land that were just about to be released just before the slide that, you know, they weren't going to be making a lot of money on. But because it cost them so much money to develop all of those, putting in all the LIDs, you know, putting in the roads and having pads ready for the potential of any development there, they were looking at having to have, you know, sell some of these pieces of property for $75,000+. And for a small home, that's a pretty substantial piece of the cost there. I think, you know, getting into some of the other areas that we have available developable land, maybe back on No Name Mountain, you know, that's going to have the potential of bringing rock into town, you know, lowering the cost of rock so that, you know, development, the base development will be a little bit cheaper and, you know, offering more land out there too for people to develop. I think that'll be a start. But like I said, I mean, it's not something that we can just look at a one size fits all, and also certainly can't look at, you know, a wholesale release of all of our lands.
Aaron Bean, housing in Sitka.
Well, thank you for the question, and I respectfully disagree with Kevin on this one. I think that I've lived here my entire life, and I remember, back before any of the area behind the high school or the loop back there, Elias and Loop, I mean, all these developments have taken place. Those were large chunks of land that were bought privately, and, you know, the sky didn't fall. In fact, it created more housing. The main problem we're facing here is people are leaving. The market, the way it is going to work itself out. There's more homes on the market now for sale than there ever has been in the history of the city. There's something to be said for that. I don't believe that, I believe the market is going down, and I don't see it recovering anytime soon. And by trying our best to keep people in town by opening land and making people work with their neighbor to develop, you know, if it means that there's an acre, you own an acre between two people, and we have a mutual friend who we can parcel this out and maybe give him a lot for work and barter and trade. I mean, that's a possibility. That's the way it used to be around here. So that's my answer to that.
Alexander Allison.
So the question was, how do we make homes more affordable?
Yeah. How do we ensure that people have places to live here?
Right.
And help people navigate that desire to live here?
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to step back, take it one step before that, and just go back to saying that, you know, the best way for us to make homes affordable in Sitka is going to be to have living wage jobs, so that people can afford homes. Because having more houses on the market than ever before doesn't really help if all the people looking for jobs are just people who work here in the summertime or work in a fish plant, or, you know, it doesn't help them. So we need to do more about that. Also, in terms of the city selling land, I like the idea in principle, but we got a lot of factors to consider now with landslide liability, with flood liability. There's a lot of dynamics changing there that we need to be pretty careful about in terms of exposing the city to liability. I had a great conversation today with Jay Clifton out at Precision Boatworks while he was working on his aluminum trolling poles. And his big idea was put float homes out in Herring Cove. And I thought it was a fantastic idea. Kind of like Seattle, put docks out there, put barges out there. The city kind of moved in that direction as far as coming up with a float home concept. But then it got bogged down in regulations. If you go and you look for what it needs to be in order to build, you know, you're going to need a lot of money. It's not going to be affordable. So we need to kind of reconceptualize what that waterborne option for us might be that would be a lot more affordable for us.